Every so often, you hear about animals appearing in places you'd never expect them. River otters have been showing up in saltwater environments off North Carolina's coast, occasionally alligators too. It was a run-in like that that led Duke University scientist Brian Silliman to take on his latest research. He was studying snails in Florida salt marshes when he looked up and saw a large alligator stalking him.
There was a cage between us. I shook the cage and the alligator lunged at me. Luckily hit this cage and I saw this big white belly. And it doubled back on a flip into the water. And within a few seconds, I found myself 50 feet away, sort of hyperventilating.
Once the fear wore off, Silliman started asking himself why that alligator was there. After all, everyone knows they like fresh water. What he found seems to indicate we may have misunderstood what many animals consider home.
These animals are likely recolonizing habitats that they formerly foraged in, reproduced in, were very successful in living in. And it told us that many of the classic and most familiar stories to all of us, scientists and citizens, about large animals being habitat specialists is likely wrong. It's more likely that they're generalists and they can live in a variety of different habitats.
And when you said these are areas where they used to be, you mean before essentially humans kicked them out?
That's what we think, and we have evidence for that. In this paper that just came out, we looked at how general was this phenomena that animals, after they've been conserved and their populations have increased, do new individuals start to colonize these new habitats? In the case of the alligators and sea otters going into seagrasses from kelp forests on the West Coast, we looked at archaeological middens of former human populations, and we found the bones of alligators and sea otters there. And what this told us was that thousands of years ago, alligators and sea otters were on the coast. And it's likely the case that humans overhunted them in those areas and pushed them back in the refuge habitats in swamps and kelp forests at the tops of mountains and in small rivers, where we first started studying them.
Could North Carolina ever be kind of like Florida where we see them? Well, I guess I'll say, you know, there were two alligator sightings off the coast of Oak Island last year in the surf. Is that something that could happen more often?
I think it will happen more often. I don't think it'll get to the level of concentration of alligators that you find in Florida because the alligators are limited here by cold temperatures. The habitat's here, but the cold temperatures really push them back.
So this, according to your research, is going on all over the country, not just in North Carolina, but we do want to focus on North Carolina right now. We've mentioned alligators on the coast. Are we going to have to rethink how we interact with animals? And I'm thinking safety measures?
Well, I think that's always important to think about. We can learn from what other people are already doing. Our view about conservation and our paradigms in conservation is that nature should exist sort of segregated and separate from human society. But there's a lot of examples where when conservation has been successful, populations of animals increase, that we coexist with those other animals in a functioning ecosystem and functioning human civilization. It does, however, mean that we do change our behavior and change our tolerance of the animal's behavior. They're more careful around the edges of waters in Florida. And in Asheville, for example, people don't put out bird feeders as much or only at certain times of year. They walk in groups at night and they have bear spray. And so with that change in behavior like that, it can lead to decreased potential negative effects. But there's also a lot of positive effects these animals can bring to systems.
Like what?
Well, for example, we've been studying sea otters on the west coast of the United States, and they totally surprised us as well. When their populations increased, a lot of individuals started moving tentatively towards the coast, on the beaches, in the salt marshes, in 2 or 3 feet of water, and they adapted quickly. And surprisingly to us, in the Monterey Bay, in a little slough called Elkhorn Slough, with the emergence of sea otters in this environment, also the seagrasses came back. And it totally surprised everybody. It's one of the most polluted estuaries in the United States. It's like pea soup. And through experiments, we realized that the sea otters, by eating a lot of crabs, were releasing a green sea slug from top-down control. And these sea slugs are like little vacuum cleaners that go up and down on seagrass blades and clean them from algae that would otherwise smother them. If we wanted to get to that point with watershed management, it would have cost us tens of millions of dollars. Most of the time, we're thinking about animals or ecosystems in peril. How do we just stop the decline and then bring them back? So we're getting more and more success stories, which means students, politicians, teachers, citizens, scientists need to think about, okay, let's think about animals and plants in peril, and let's think about when we brought them back, and and those different ways to manage those organisms.
That's Duke Professor of Marine Conservation Biology, Brian Silliman. Thank you for the time.
Okay, thank you.